Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the Scripture and the Sense podcast number 427, where I read the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and give the sense of it based on an authoritative commentary source, such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary or the Matthew Henry Commentary. This podcast is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, where it says, Ezra and the Levites read in the book and the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. The aim of this podcast is that through the simple reading of the Word of God, and the giving of the sense of it, the church would be revived, and the world would be awakened. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we are reading Amos chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Let's pray together. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word, the Holy Bible, and we pray that you would give us understanding of your holy word as we read it by the power of your Holy Ghost. And Lord, help us to love your holy word, to cherish it, and to obey it, and to apply it to our lives, and to share it with others. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Amos chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel. Against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Ladies and gentlemen, I just read in your hearing Amos chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Now here is the sense of it, or the understanding of it. First, from the Matthew Henry Commentary. The distinguishing favors of God to us, if they do not restrain from sin, shall not exempt from punishment. They could not expect communion with God unless they first sought peace with God. Where there is not friendship, there can be no real fellowship. God and man cannot walk together except they are agreed. Unless we seek his glory, we cannot walk with him. (Clears throat) pardon me, unless we seek his glory, we cannot walk with him. Let us not presume on outward privileges without special sanctifying grace. The threatenings of the word and providence of God against the sin of man are certain, and certainly show that the judgments of God are at hand. Nor will God remove the affliction he has sent till it has done its work. The evil of sin is from ourselves. It is our own doing. But the evil of trouble is from God and is his doing, whoever are the instruments. This should engage us patiently to bear public troubles and to study the answer, God's meaning in them. This should engage us patiently to bear public troubles and to study to answer God's meaning in them. The whole of the passage shows that natural evil or troubles and not moral evil or sin is here meant. The warning given to a callous world will increase its condemnation another day. The warning given to a callous world will increase its condemnation another day. Oh, the amazing stupidity of an unbelieving world that will not be wrought upon by the terrors of the Lord, and that despise his mercies. Now from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. After announcing the judgment that would come against the Northern Kingdom, Amos gave a series of five messages to explain more fully the reasons for God's judgment. The first three messages are marked by the phrase, "Hear this word." The last two begin with, "Woe to you." Each message describes in more detail the religious, legal, political, and social rebellion which had brought God's wrath against the nation. Within the messages are appeals for repentance and instructions as to how individuals could escape the awful calamity that was coming. In this message, Amos declared that Israel would be punished because of her unique relationship with God. Her judgment was inevitable because of her unparalleled oppression of people. The message was addressed initially to both Israel and Judah, but then it was primarily directed to the Northern Kingdom. The reason God spoke this word against Israel and Judah, whom he brought up out of Egypt, was because they only had been chosen of all the families of the earth. Chosen was used in ancient treaties to describe a sovereign's commitment to a vassal in a special covenant relationship. They alone were God's people, the only nation he had ever really chosen to watch over and care for. Therefore, he would punish them for their sins because he had chosen them, intimately revealed himself to them, and made available to them the greatest covenantal blessings a suzerain ever offered a vassal. They should have in return wanted to know him and please him because of his special commitment. Their iniquities were even more terrible. God's electing grace is always meant to influence one's conduct. His special commitments and blessings often contain special chastisements to discipline and to purge. Because his love is so great, his people must be holy. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Scripture and the Sense podcast. Please remember to read the Word of God, the Holy Bible, each and every day of your life, and pray without ceasing to God about everything, and for wisdom to understand His Word and apply it to your life. Most importantly, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Please stay tuned for a complete presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can get your soul saved from hell to that wonderful place called heaven when you die. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Now, dear friends, if you're with us today and you do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him, Jesus Christ, for your soul's salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God. We're all guilty before God. You do not have the right to look down your nose at others. You're just as wicked as others. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin always. You will be paid for your sins one day. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Our payday someday is death. To these beautiful bodies, death to so many things before you die, death to marriages, death to relationships, death to material things. You will experience 1,000 deaths before you die because of sin. But ultimately you will die physically, your body will be put in a cold, dark grave. And that ought to be frightening because it is frightening. But more frightening is that your soul, if it dies without Christ, will go to a burning hell to spend eternity in a dark place, even though there's fire. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe that a loving God would put people in the hell." Well, Jesus Christ, the loving and lowly one, preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ, the loving one and the lowly one, preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. He said in Matthew chapter 10 verse 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Whatever you do, don't experience the second death, because it's bad news. Hell is bad news. But I have good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. And he said these words to you before he left here: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved. Pray and ask Jesus Christ to save your soul and to come into your heart and change your life. He will do it. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, and you're ready to trust him as your Savior, pray and ask him to save you, and he will. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer in what is called the sinner's prayer, or the prayer of salvation. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and that I have done evil in your sight. I am guilty because I have broken your Ten Commandments, your law. I've taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored and disobeyed and disrespected my own parents. I have lied many times before. I have lusted after people and things and what others have. I've stolen things before. So Lord, that's 5 to 6 commandments I've already broken out of your Ten Commandments. And so please have mercy and grace upon me. For your Holy Son's sake, Jesus Christ, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart, the best way that I know how, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to turn from my evil ways. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, dear friend, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. And Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good until next time. Now, I may be traveling here over the next few days, but I will resume preaching as soon as I get back. And I will do some preaching while I'm on the road. So thank you so much for your prayers. Please continue to pray for us, and we will continue to pray for you. God bless you until next time. Amen.
If you look at the hard left and how they treat law enforcement in the last 5 or 6 years,